السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. صدق الله العظيم. Beloved brothers, respected elders, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith, ni'matani maghbunun feehima kathirun minan nas, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. That there are two favors which most of mankind are at a loss with regards to them too. They are good health and free time. Good health and free time. As-sihhatu wal-faragh. So the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are innumerable. They are countless. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you have to count the favors of Allah, you will never be able to encompass the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned two special favors, two special ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should give some attention to. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there are two favors. Most of mankind, most of the people, they are at a loss with regards to them too. They run at a loss. That means they don't appreciate it as it ought to be appreciated. They don't make use of it as it ought to be made use of. And later when they find that they have not taken advantage of that free time, or they didn't take advantage of that good health and the strength that they had, then they realize the value of these favors. So most people run at a loss with regards to them too. Good health and free time. So generally this is the time of the year where many have a lot of free time at hand. Many of our scholars are on holiday. Students are also on holiday. Many have also taken a break around this time of the year. So this is one of the favors that we have at hand. The free time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed a person with. So how do we make use of this time? How do we use it productively? How do we take advantage of it? On the one hand, when a person has a lot of free time at hand and he just whiles away the time, he wastes away the time, his mind is idle, then that becomes the workshop of the devil. And you find all types of evil whisperings coming to him from shaitan, and he gets involved in all types of wrong. So as I said, this is a time when people are on break, people are on leave. So to take a break, to go on holiday, to refresh the mind, to take a break from your normal activities, there's no problem with that. That is something that's also encouraged in the Sharia, that we should refresh our mind at times, we should take a break. We can't be all the time involved busy all the time in our work, in our ibadat all the time, that we go to extremes also in ibadat, that's also not healthy. A person needs to have a balanced life. He needs to lead a balanced life. And Islam has provided us this balance. On the one hand, you look at some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they went to extremes in nafil ibadat, in optional acts of worship, then they had to be brought back online, that they had to be brought back onto balance, onto moderation. For example, on one occasion, Hazrat Salman Farisi radiallahu anhu, he visited his friend, close companion, another senior sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So he visited him. Now Salman radiallahu anhu, he knew about his friend, he had got wind that his friend was going to some extremes in ibadat. He was overdoing it in his optional acts of worship. So he went there, one of his intentions was also to remedy the situation. That also can be harmful. So the time came for meals. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu made sure that the meals were then presented to his guest, Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, Salman Farisi radiallahu anhu, the famous companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he presented the meals. So Salman radiallahu anhu said, aren't you going to be joining me, you presenting the meals, aren't you going to be joining me in eating? So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, no, I'm fasting. So you go ahead and you eat, I am fasting. So Salman radiallahu anhu, he said to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that I won't eat unless you eat with me. I won't eat unless you eat with me. In other words, this is a nafil fast. It's an optional fast. The Sharia has allowed that when you are fulfilling a nafil fast, an optional fast, then for some valid reason, if there's a valid reason, you are allowed to break that fast, and you are allowed to then make qaza of it. Then you'll make qaza of it later on. You'll fulfill it later on. So here's a valid reason. You have a guest, and he is not going to feel comfortable to eat alone. So in order to show hospitality and to entertain your guest, to make him feel comfortable, break your fast, and thereafter you keep it later on. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu then complied with the wish of his guest, Salman radiallahu anhu. He broke the fast and he joined him in the meals. Thereafter at night, when it was time to rest, so Abu Darda radiallahu anhu prepared the bedding and the place for rest for Salman radiallahu anhu. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu then went to go and engage in ibadat, in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, he said to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu that no, come and sleep now, come and rest now, we'll worship later on. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu then went to lie down to rest, also get some sleep. So after a little while, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu quickly got up again and was going now to engage in ibadat, worship Allah Ta'ala again. So Salman radiallahu anhu stopped him again, a second time. No, come. Rest now, it's time for rest, it's time to sleep. So again he went back to bed. A little while later, a third time, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu goes to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engage in ibadat, nafil ibadat. So Salman radiallahu again calls him back and he says, no, rest now. Then in the latter portion of the night, at the time of tahajjud, the last sixth of the morning or the last third, the last portion of the night before, at the time of Seri, that time. So then he says, okay, now let's wake up. Let's engage in ibadat. Let's worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter it was time for Fajr. They performed the Fajr Salah. Thereafter, Salman radiallahu anhu advised his friend. And he said to him, Inna li rabbika alayka haqqa, wa li nafsika alayka haqqa, wa li ahlika alayka haqqa, fa'a'ti kulladhi haqqin haqqahu. So he advised him with these words. He said, oh, my friend Abu Darda, your Lord has a haqq over you, has a right over you. Your Lord has a right over you. First of all, always, priority is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your body also has a right over you. Your family also has a right over you. So give everyone its due right. فَآتِ كُلَّذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. If you are going to be worshipping Allah Ta'ala the whole night, if you are going to be fasting every day, then how are you going to be harming your body? You are going to be harming your family. You're not going to be fulfilling the rights of your family. So, oh Abu Darda, your Rabb has a right over you. Your body has a right over you. Your family has a right over you. Give everyone its due right. فَآتِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. So Salman, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu listened to these words of advice, and then he went to report to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, this is what Salman radiallahu anhu said to me today, or advised me with this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَدَقَ Salman. That Salman has spoken the truth. Salman has spoken the truth. These are true words. These are words of wisdom. And this is the haqq, this is the truth and sincere advice. So this was a sahaba radiallahu anhu, that some of them went to extremes in ibadat, in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so then they had to be brought back onto balance. There were other sahaba like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, and others as well. When they went to extremes in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they had to be brought back into balance, because there's no rahbaniyat in Islam. There's no monasticism in Islam where you leave out the world and you involve yourself only in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one extreme. But the other extreme also is not correct, where a person goes totally towards nafsaniyat, where a person goes totally towards only fulfilling his desires. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, don't follow your desires. Just follow your desires, because this will mislead you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the other extreme that perhaps people go through nowadays, and especially in this kind of season, where they make their desires the object of worship. They make pleasure, enjoyment, the object of their life, which is not the object of life. It is, as I said, a means of refreshing the mind. It is a means of refreshing the body and the soul. If it's done with proper guidelines in accordance to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's healthy. But if it's gone to that extreme where you don't care about the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that person who has taken his desires as his God? أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. He has made his ilah, his object of worship, he has made it his desires. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. Then Allah Ta'ala causes him to go astray despite knowledge. That means he knows what's right and what is wrong, but he still chooses to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَتَمَ عَلَى سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ. And Allah Ta'ala puts a seal upon his hearing, upon his sight. وَجَعَلَ عَلَى بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَ. Allah Ta'ala conceals, covers him. Now he can't see the truth. He can't listen to the truth. He will not follow the truth. So this is another extreme. So Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is through the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that balanced way. Yes, we allow to refresh in our mind. We allow to indulge in recreation, but within the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, Salman radiallahu anhu advised his friends, Abu Darda, inna li rabbika alayka haqqa. First right is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever activities you may be involved in, it must conform to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The object of our lives is the worship of Allah and not the worship of desires. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and man except so that they may worship me. So every aspect of our life must now conform to ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's done within the guidelines of Allah, then that recreation becomes ibadat. Person going for a swim, a person going for a run, a person playing with his family, playing with his children, playing with his wife, all that becomes ibadat. All that becomes an act of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it is done within the guidelines of the Sharia. Now when there is this free time and a person has a lot of time at hand, then it's very easy, and especially in this time of the year when there's so much of so-called festivity and it's known as the silly season and people indulge in so many evils, it's easy to get caught up in temptations, in fitna, and for a person to go astray. How do we save ourselves from this? How do we save ourselves from these type of fitnas and temptations? So I'll give you a few solutions, inshallah. By means of this, inshallah, if we implement it practically in our life, we'll find that we'll be saved from these type of temptations. One very important tool is meditation. That there must be a time in our day. We've got, alhamdulillah, a lot of free time. So there must be a time in our day which we take out for meditation and contemplation. Even if it's a start with 5 minutes, even for 5 minutes, for a little while, a person takes out some time and meditates and contemplates. Number one, a person contemplates over what? Over the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person can just continue meditating and contemplating over the favors of Allah. There are so many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us that we are experiencing within our lives, our families, the food that Allah ta'ala provides us with, the air that we breathe, our bodies. There are so many ni'mats of Allah. So a person ponders a little while over the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he thinks to himself that when Allah ta'ala has blessed me with so many favors, how dare do I then disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I use these same ni'mats, the energy that food has given me, the beautiful fruit that we find in this season, the mangoes and the lychees and all the watermelons, the beautiful ni'mats of Allah ta'ala, the strength that we derive from there, now we use it to disobey Allah. So a person contemplates over the favors of Allah, so this will help him now to stay within the limits of the Sharia and the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, part of that contemplation is meditation over death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Remember abundantly the destroyer of pleasures. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us and he wants us to remember abundantly, أَكْثِرُوا. Make abundant remembrance of the destroyer of all pleasures. هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. In other words, death. Think, contemplate a lot over death. 2 weeks ago, there was a nikah that was to take place in our masjid in Westville. So it was to take place after Zohar Salah. So as I was walking in for Zohar Salah, so one of the brothers says, Maulana, the nikah that was supposed to take place after nikah, the girl's mother just passed away in an accident. The girl's mother just passed away in an accident. So an occasion of happiness, of joy. I remember many times, I heard on one occasion, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, he mentioned that sometimes on one day, there's one family having a nikah. There's a joyous occasion. They are all happy. A nikah is taking place. But on the same day, in another family, there is a janazah. So this is the nature of this world. This is the nature of this world. There's happiness, there's sadness. The enjoyment also is very temporary. It's of a fleeting nature. It can be very deceptive as well. So on the one hand, there was a few moments, there was a happy occasion to take place. And just a few moments later, it suddenly becomes a time of gloom, of sadness. Sadness, and then so that's the nature of this world. So a person ponders, no matter which time of the year it is, death can strike at any moment. Death can strike at any moment. So therefore, we should constantly ponder over death and try to always remember this dua: Allahumma barik lana fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. Oh Allah, bless us at the time of death and in all the conditions after death. A person ponders over death, then very easily he will be able to correct himself. He will be able to make islah of himself and reform himself. So that's one tool, that meditation. Meditation over the favors of Allah on the one hand, and meditation over death. A second tool to help us restrict and save ourselves from all temptations is salah, to establish salah. Aqimis salah. Establish the salah. Because inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salah will stop you from evil and obscenity. Anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salah is the means that will prevent you from evil and obscenity. So a person works on his salah. He makes an effort on his salah. A person makes a good effort on his salah. Then he will find, inshallah, the rest of his life will come in order. A person has to make a concerted effort on salah. Aqimis salah. Establish your salah. Tarafayn nahari wa zulafan min al-layl, at the two ends of the day and in the middle of the night, various times of salah, the five daily salah I meant in this ayat. Innal hasanati yudhibna as-sayyi'at. Verily the good deeds will wipe out the evil. Innal hasanati yudhibna as-sayyi'at. So a person works on his salah. A person in, as I said, in this time, many have a lot of extra free time. So therefore they should work on the quality of their salah. They don't just rush through the salah. A person may be out on a journey, maybe going on a holiday. So they say salah is half, but salah is not maaf. Salah is half, but salah is not maaf. So a person will read qasar salah. But even then, work on the quality of that salah. Read a quality salah. And that will bring a person back to balance. He will not be following just his desires. It will bring him back to balance. So work on the quality of the salah. Part of the salah is dhikr of Allah. Take out time for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person sits in solitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, meditation is one aspect. Another aspect is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the name of Allah, istighfar. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Recite the kalima, la ilaha illallah. Recite durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Recite the tilawat of the Qur'an Majid. And a person works on these. This is another tool. One is salah and the dhikr of Allah. Salah and the remembrance of Allah. A person brings this in his life, then he will be saved from the temptations. This whole prescription is mentioned, if you look at the 21st para, at the first ayat of the 21st juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab." Recite what has been revealed to you of the kitab. So part of the prescription, part of the dhikr is tilawat of the Quran. To recite the Quran. To recite the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab. Number one. Wa aqimis salah. Number two, establish salah. Because salah will stop you from evil and obscenity. Number three. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest thing. And number four. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Allah knows what you are doing. That's meditation. That Allah is watching me. How can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wallahu ya. So the whole prescription is there in the 21st para. Tilawat of the Quran, salah, dhikrullah, and meditation. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. And a third very important tool to help a person stay away from temptation is good company. The company and the environment that a person keeps. Very simple example. An example Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given, and a similar example to that that we can perhaps understand, is that if you sit with a group of smokers, people who are smoking, then either you will be tempted towards smoking, you may yourself may start smoking, or that secondhand smoke will affect you, or the pungent smell, or the smell, or the odor will then come onto you. And if you go to somebody else, they'll say, have you been smoking? So that will come onto you. So the effect of the company on a person. So this will, if a person watches his company, he adopts pious company, then that perfume will rub onto you. That fragrance will come onto you. If you adopt evil company, then that odor and that stench will rub onto you. So a person watches his company. Again, practical ways of how to watch our environment and our company. Attach ourselves to the masjid. Attach ourselves to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you attach yourself to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then invariably there will be some Imam Sahib who will be there in that masjid guiding people according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you sit in his programs. You sit in his programs. Perhaps he has some tafsir, or you have some dhikr, or you have some fiqh. So those, this will then help a person then find some direction in his life. Or there will be in that masjid, there will be those seasoned musallis who day in, day out, you'll find every day they are earliest in the masjid. They're always there in the front saf. So mixing with them, joining with them, that will then rub off onto one. You'll find that fragrance of that will also come onto one. You also will be inspired now to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So attach yourself to the masjid, and then you will find that you will find good environment, a good company. Or a person may go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with like-minded people, spending time in the masjid, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in gatherings of zikr. So that helps a person find good company, a good environment. And a long-term solution is to find some pious sheikh or personality that we link ourselves to, and we keep seeking guidance from him so that he may guide one onto the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may guide one onto the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this entire prescription that I have given, how we can save ourselves from temptations, we will find it again in Surah Nur. Surah Nur, Allah ta'ala describes his Nur. In those ayat, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Where will you find the Nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fi buyutin, adhina Allah, in the masajid. You'll find it in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else will you find in the houses of Allah? Rijalul la tulhihim tijara wala bayu. Find the men of Allah in the houses of Allah. Those men who business and trade does not divert them from what? So you find the house of Allah, the environment, the men of Allah, the company, and what actions are they engaging? An dhikrillah wa iqamis salah. Dhikr of Allah and establishment of salah. So we bring these amal in our life, attach ourselves to the masjid, watch our company, make the dhikr of Allah, establish salah. This will assist us, inshallah, in saving ourselves from all the fitna and temptation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.